Blog Talk Radio.
There we go.
For this wicked world, your data's uncorrupted, but does something skip inside you? That's what takes up time in your life at the sum of its lives, and sooner or later, love.
Hello, Amy. Do we have you?
Yeah.
All righty.
Because I actually have the same phone number as last week, making it a little easier to find.
Okay. Sounds good. All righty. Hey, and I have discovered this past week, I haven't been able to be on Facebook. I couldn't email you because I didn't have your email. I scrounged, and that's like, I don't have an email for you, because otherwise I would have emailed you my stuff a long time ago.
Oh, right. Okay, well, I can tell it over the radio. It's A. Kavanaugh, but it's not, it's spelled like it is in this episode, which is C-A-V-A-N-A-U-G-H.
Okay.
The letter C, the letter P, the letter C.
C, okay. At?
At gmail.com.
Okay, sounds good. All right. I will email you then, because I've been scrounging for that all week, and I haven't had, it's been one of those really crazy weeks where I haven't had the opportunity to even get on Facebook at all, because otherwise I would have got a hold of you a long time ago.
Yeah,
right.
But those weeks, I mean, everybody is having the craziest things, the energy and the... I am not, speaking of weird energy, I do not seem to be able to get into the chat, so I don't know.
You know, Jen was having the same problem, and she finally got her chat back yesterday. So, you know, it might be, you know, maybe, hopefully, you know, we'll be able to.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to wait
yeah.
to have it. I just want to, because I know last week was like crazy. There was like two shows going. I was more like just background noise. As the real show went on in the chat room, I guess there was quite a fascinating conversation going on in the chat room last week, if you remember. On I didn't see any of it. So hopefully I'll get in, but for right now, we'll just get started. But I'm going to need you to monitor the chat for the questions.
Sure, you bet.
Because I was trying to explain, and you do a real good job of, because I wouldn't say that this is full-fledged channeled, but I do go into some sort of zone, because somebody was asking me about something, and I said that, really? I listened to them afterwards, and they're fascinating, that might be a little, but they were, you know, everything is indeed true, but I'm just not, it's sort of like channeled writing or whatever, you know, it's
automatic.
So I'm not really totally paid. So it's good that you stop me if there's questions and everything like that. So let's get started.
All righty. Sounds good.
Well, today we are to the seventh chakra, which is the crown chakra. Which is its location is about 2 inches above our head. It is our higher consciousness and our thoughts connecting us to the universe. If you remember from the prior weeks, we talk about each chakra having a gender. And this one, because of course it is of spirit, has no gender. It's both the male and the female, because it is our connection with God. We also talk about them resonating to a different musical note, and this particular musical note is B, and the sound ohm. Now, it's interesting, a lot of time, you know, everybody, there seems to be this, not aversion, but people all know that their life would go a lot better if they meditated more. Right. It's interesting, the sound ohm, because that is the God sound. And right. A couple of, well, earlier this year, I went to a conference, and it was really a medium development class, for lack of a better term. But right. really, the way we did the medium development was through a series of exercises that really had very little to do with talking to dead people. Rather, the focus was to vibrate on a higher frequency. And that's really what the overall theme of these discussions on the different chakras have been, is, you know, when something happens in your life, depending on whether the energy level of your chakras and whether they're balanced or not, and depending which chakra, whichever chakra is overactive at the time, it's going to be the one that process it at that particular level. And which chakra is, it's intended that they all be vibrating at a in balance, but if one's overactive, that's going to be the one that's going to determine the outcome of your interaction, whether it's a discussion or, you know, a thought or, you know, your reaction to something. So that's yeah. why it's really important that they all be balanced. But anyway, going back to this medium development class and this sound ohm, she had us all sit in a circle, two circles, an inner circle and then an outer circle, and spend about 5 minutes collectively chanting the sound ohm. Now, a lot of these things just seem, I call them woo-woo, they just seem far-fetched. Yeah. They seem to have absolutely nothing to do with whatever your immediate need from the universe is, be it money to pay your electric bill, a new job, a healing in your relationship. But it is all of this stuff is real, and all of this stuff changes the energy. And it was absolutely profound to hear the change, to hear the collective ohm, and to, you know, and to experience it, especially when we were in the inner circle. So I always urge people, when they're trying to find a way that they're comfortable with meditation, things like that, and there's a lot of, to look for chants and look for music that focuses on these very primal sounds, especially the sound of the ohm. Now, I have to tell you, for myself, I cannot sit in a room by myself and make the sound ohm. I just right. can't. I just can't do it. But if I find a YouTube video or something on Spotify, or put a CD that I have that has that, you know, that has that noise, be it Buddhist monks making the noise or a group making, you know, okay. or an instrument making the noise, I will say it takes me to a place of a much higher vibration. And it okay. takes you to a place where thoughts don't make as much sense. So there's definitely value in incorporating the sound ohm into your prayer and meditation. If you don't want to do it alone, the best thing to do, that's what the internet's for, is you don't have to do anything alone, but it is very, very, it is very, very powerful. Meditation is very difficult, not because it's so foreign to us, and the fact that meditation is so foreign to us is really a big wake-up call as to how far we have separated ourselves from God. And no wonder we are suffering. No wonder we are suffering. We got this idea we could do all this stuff, this grand experiment that we could do all this stuff and still be with God. And, you know, we're just hanging on by the phrase now. But if you really want to connect yourself to God and to the universe, God, I cannot stress even more strongly the importance of this very basic primal sound. You'll feel a change inside you. So each of the chakras, and we've talked in the past, is associated with a gland. The seventh chakra, the crown chakra, is associated with the, and I have to say this right, I'm going to need Kelly's help, pineal gland.
Pineal.
And right. Pineal. 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 Like pinnacle, pineal. Thank you.
Pineal. Okay.
I always make it sound like a different body part. So thank you very much. So, and this is the gland that produces melatonin, and it controls our right brain hemisphere, which is the creative side, and our central nervous system. There's been so much talk on the internet of how the food we eat and putting fluoride in the water and all of the, you know, it depends if you're reading from a health site or a site that's, in, you know, that there's the conspiracy sites say that they've put fluoride in the water to calcify this gland so that we will be unenlightened and easily manipulated. There's all sorts of discussion about the importance of this, and doesn't really matter what's true or false. What does matter is we know that we would not be so miserable if we were not so separated from God. So whether it's a calcified, how do you say that word again?
I think it's pineal. P-I-N-E-A-L is pineal.
Pineal gland, whether it's calcification or ego, it doesn't matter. Something is disconnecting us from our source. So there's people, again, you know, we talk about the different foods that you can eat and the different crystals and things like that. And I'm also, you know, from the prior episodes, I am a big proponent of, certainly you can do those things and they may be like triggers and they may be reminders and get and be sort of nonverbal affirmations. But mm-hmm. at the end of the day, it's not going to matter so much what crystal you have in your pocket, but what thoughts you operate your day on. It's interesting because I was telling someone the other day, I think we don't understand. I think we have this idea that we have to change, before we can be enlightened, we have to change all of our thoughts and get all the bad thoughts out. And that isn't the case at all.
Wow.
We're human.
None of us
and
would
we
be enlightened.
Have, right. And we're going to have those thoughts and we're going to have emotions. But the goal is to come from a place where we cull our thoughts for, you know, thoughts that are going to bring us closer to God, and we rely upon our emotions, but we process our emotions up through the chakras before we take action or say something or react. So it's really not a matter that these thoughts, you know, you're still going to think people are skinnier than you or richer than you or that person is sinning and they're not. And of course, as today we watch all the, it's been interesting to me, and this is a huge, huge lesson for all of us about how judgmental we are, even when we think that we're coming from a place of love. Now, today's just like Chick-fil-A.
We think we're not judgmental, huh? Oh,
right.
Wow.
With the intolerance. Okay, so this chicken, this Chick-fil-A and the chicken day, today's chicken day. And some of the things, you know, the president or whatever of Chick-fil-A made a statement, which was his personal opinion, and then it was his opinion. I'm not really going to say one side or the other. I'm just going to tell, and I'm sure that I'm missing parts of the story. But
yeah.
He didn't say, you cannot come eat my fast food if you're gay. I believe he just stated his truth. And honestly, if I was gay, I would rather know, okay, this guy, this is how he feels, so you have a choice to go there or not. But anyway,
right.
As what always happens, and I got in a war of egos this morning with a woman again over Christianity, and we weren't even talking about Chick-fil-A, but the intolerance. It's like the all this talk that the Christian right is being so intolerant, the people who, you know, support the rights of everyone to marry, are being more intolerant and judgmental of the other side, and it just goes to show how far we are from God. It doesn't matter how, you know, it reflects in every single thing that we, you know, every single thing that we do. And
right.
It doesn't, you know, it's not for us to decide, you know, it is not for us to decide the right or wrong on that, but it is up to for us to recognize within ourselves when we are when we're coming from a place of ego. If we're coming from a place of ego, it's probably coming from a very low chakra. And this is one of the things I've been doing lately, is every time there's I have like this little chakra machine I made up in my head that, like, I take any kind of conflict or any kind of issue or something and put it through the chakra. So if you take this whole Chick-fil-A crisis and put it through the chakras, you can see a lot of it is, you know, a lot of it is really coming from a very low vibration. A lot of it is coming out of fear on both sides, you know, fear on both sides. When we look into the, the next chakra up, which is our sacral chakra. Well, I mean, it's obvious because I think that the people on the one side think that that's all the gay people.
Whoops. Hello? Okay, I'm not sure what happened there. We lost her. Okay, let me see. Hang on just for a minute here. And I'm going to put on a little bit of music here and see if we can get Amy back on here. I'm not sure what in the world happened just then. Hang with us for just a moment. And we're going to play this tune. It's actually from Linda Irwin. And this was one of the ones that Jessa loaded on for us. And it's called Hell to Cronus. So while we are searching for Amy here, we'll listen to a little bit of music and we'll see if I can get her back on. So bear with us. Okay, this one is Monster the Technodroid. This one's also by Linda Irwin. Let's see if we can get, because I'm not sure. Amy's not showing back up in our calls yet, so I am not sure what's happening with her. So hang loose. Oh, now we lost sound too. Okay, great. Okay, thank you, Jan. Okay, let's see if I can get this back up, then if I can even type here. Okay. Okay, thank you, Jan. Alrighty, not sure what happened there. Okay. Can you hear me now? Hear us now? Got this. Okay. This is for fun. Oh, there we go. Okay. Okay. Oh, okay. There we go. We got calls joined here. But yeah, it's like you never showed back up in the studio. I don't know what in the world went on. And then Jan was in chat and she was going, oh my goodness, we lost sound now too. So I was like, all right, yeehaw. Okay.
It's crazy. I mean, and again, this apparently, these are.
Okay, I'm going to turn off the music.
Okay,
there we go. Is this better?
Sorry about that. Yeah, I just got, suddenly nobody was there, and
oh, no.
I was trying to call back in, and it just said the number I had dialed was no longer valid. I mean, we keep getting these strong messages about, and I don't know if anybody saw the news yesterday, but in India, their power grid has taken a hit, and people don't have power, and we're so intent on relying on these electronic things while we sit and talk about how the energy is shifting with little backup plan. So anyway, so I don't know when I was talking and actually you were dialing in, so I presume nobody's heard anything in quite a long time, but I'm just going
to
pick
that,
up.
What about the past 5 minutes there? Yeah, we've been trying to, a good 5 minutes to try and get you back on here.
Okay, so basically the point of the crown chakra, when we look at this is our connection, you know, to God, but it's also it's where we create our oneness. So this is where we become our enemy, is in our crown chakra, you know, is not we become our enemy, like we fight against ourselves. These people who are making the otherwise tolerant intolerant, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. They are us because of the crown chakra where we connect. There's no way, and this is where this grand experiment that we've launched upon called Being Human failed so miserably. Because we created the separation by ignoring our crown chakra, and then we made enemies of other parts of ourself by disavowing the fact that we are one. So it doesn't matter if you have a We Are One bumper sticker on your car or not. If you are hating, if you're hating your
person next to you in traffic while you're stuck.
Right. Exactly. Or if you were just like, you know, no, you're wrong, you know, I hate what you just said, you know, whatever. It's all, we are one. And we become, and it's not just God. If you're going to be one with God, since God's one with everybody else, you just adopted or reclaimed all these parts of yourself. And yeah. that's the thing that we really, really seem, well, the New Age movement really, really seems to be missing is yeah. because it seems that we only want to be one that, you know,
like
we don't mind. It used to be, you know, if you're a racist, you just want to be one with people that are the same color,
right.
you know, or
right.
this or this or this.
Right.
But there does seem to be an awful, I've been a little bit shocked at some of the statements that are being made by people who I really thought had done the work. And
wow.
it just goes to show how human we are. This isn't like,
yeah.
oh, my God, they're such a bad person. They shouldn't be
no.
teaching this stuff or they or they're a fraud or anything. It just goes to show our humanness, how human we are, and it just goes to show how fear-based we are.
Yeah.
So
I got a quote for you from that ancient book. It says, "In the last days," which, you know, if we're kind of, you know, tracing along with, you know, bibliology type stuff, it says, "In the last days, the love of the greater number will cool off," and so you're going to see more things like, you know, I mean, some of the really horrible stuff that's hit the news, you know, moms killing their children, you know, it's like husbands, you know, coming back from war zones and, you know, killing their families, you know, things like this. So it really is, we've become a, not just a lawless society, but we're becoming a loveless society, which is really kind of sad.
That's very important. That's very important. And when we look at the chakras, we see that, we are supposed to, we're not supposed to operate, if the, we're supposed to operate out of our fourth chakra, you know, all of our fears and our reactions and our feelings and our emotions are supposed to kind of go through a blender with enlightenment and intuition and all of these more higher vibrational chakras, and we're supposed to be coming out of our heart. You know, these basic statements that all there is love and all this stuff. It's true. And that is not happening. We flip back and forth from chakra to chakra. You know, we go to yoga class and we think we're up there in seventh. But then we go outside and someone's blocked our car and we're late to pick up our kid at daycare and we just hit the horn. We're just right back into our root chakra. So we seem to pick a chakra for every occasion. You know, we fall in love and we're all in our heart chakra. And notice when we are in love or, you know, new love or whatever, everything else seems to go well as well. But then when we go into, you're not supposed to, you know, they're supposed to open and close. And, you know, like we've talked about, when you're being chased by a tiger, you know, it's good to have a root chakra. I was joking, if you're, you know, living in Idaho, you know, it's where there's wide open, where there's wide open spaces and you're hunting and gathering, then it makes more sense to be giving the lower chakra, you know, the root chakra, more, giving it more energy. But we cannot use these at will. We should not be just using these as will to set our mood or for the situation. As a human, we're supposed to be embarking into all of our interactions, whether they're emotionally charged or emotionally neutral, from this balance. So the verb associated with the crown chakra is I know. And that isn't an I know like I am an academic whiz. It's a knowingness of the universal knowingness. It's a consciousness of your divine purpose, and that you're in unison of your mind, body, and spirit. I think a lot of people give up on their minds and their bodies and just want to become spiritual beings. But you cannot. We're human, and we're human, which means we have a body, mind, and spirit, and we need the purpose of our meditating on the crown chakra, and our focus on the crown chakra is to create unison amongst all of that, including the lower chakras, not just cut off the lower ones and create some sort of artificial bliss. And its purpose is to be, I am one with all creation. That means you don't exploit others. You don't exploit the planet. You are one with all creation. So to take this a little bit, to take this a little bit further, it's important that we understand really our purpose, we understand our purpose for being here. I think a lot of us forget. I saw, because on Facebook and everything, you get all these happy thoughts, and they say life is difficult, and it's like, as compared to what? As compared to what?
Yeah.
Perhaps, I would be able to, or people who, when I see this so often, because so much of my work is in grief and working with people who are grieving. And when someone dies, they lose their faith in God. Well, that really doesn't, it's natural. It's natural because you have been experienced a loss. And, if you go into next week, I'm going to talk about processing grief, not just grief of someone dying, but grief of, everyone's experiencing losses of jobs, losses of different roles, losses of homes, things like that, through the different chakras, and how a lot of what we think is grief really isn't grief. It is fear, or it's embarrassment, it's fear, or it's embarrassment, or something like that. But, if we took on this role of being human, of hang down here for whatever lessons or soul contracts or, whatever words you want to wrap around what we're doing. And somehow along the line, we got this idea that it was supposed to be a blissful experience, and we were supposed to experience abundance, which somehow we've transferred into meaning having lots of really nice things, or perhaps meaning more nice things than the person next to us. And we've sort of turned our prayers into lists for Santa Claus, and we have turned spirituality sort of into a shopping cart. This whole idea, what do you call that thing? The secret. What's that called? Abundance. It's not abundance. What is it? When you get what you want, you manifest it.
What's the law of attraction. Law of
attraction. Right. Exactly.
Attract it. Think of steel and a magnet.
Right. The law of attraction. And now the basis of the law of attraction is exactly what we're talking about, because everything is energy, and whatever energy you put into this you will create, and that's how we that's how we always end up in the same relationship. That's how we always end up, how our life always looks exactly like it used to look, only there's different props on whatever stage we're standing on. But I think to a large extent, we have turned our relationship with God into sort of like an ATM machine, and that we've turned our spirituality sort of into a shopping cart, that when we're when we want this, and we get it, and then God is good, and we don't want this, or we don't like what that person thinks, and then God is bad, or God is punishing us, instead of this idea that these are just all reflections, and that God knows what is God's divine plan. We just let our free will, which is a part of this human experiment, but we give it far too much power. We give ourselves, we blame the universe. When something's going good, we're willing to accept the idea of being one with the universe, and the universe is all in our order. But when we don't get what we want, we seem to think that that it's because God is, that God is bad. So it's really a matter of a lot of, in order to have a conscious relationship with God, and really in order for us to change the collective consciousness of humanity, which seems to be one of the goals of these times right now, we really need to take a close look at our prayers. And are prayers to-do lists, or are they shopping lists, or are they Christmas lists, or are we really praying to better understand, for a better understanding, and for God to reveal the divine patterns of the universe and things like that? And more, I know in my case, more often than not, I fall into the earlier case, which is where I my prayers are specific. And if you think of some of the, most powerful prayers, if you're going to think of a prayer for the seventh chakra, it really is the prayer of Saint Francis, which is, "Make me a channel of your peace. Do with me, reveal to me what my purpose is, where I should go, and how I should use, through prayer, tell me how to use the other six chakras. What should I say? Who should I say it to? Let me be a vehicle for peace." Marianne Williamson says, "Let my life be a bridge from the problem to the answer." But until we understand and reconnect with the fact that there is a divine purpose, and this has been going on for millions and millions and millions of years, we're just going to continue to disconnect ourselves from God. As soon as we disconnect ourselves from God, conveniently we're disconnected from all those people that we don't like. And we will continue to live the kind of lives we're living, which I think most people will say that they feel somewhat spiritually, collectively spiritually bankrupt. When we look at the state of humanity right now, it's pretty clear that that we have not been, we've been coming from a place, you know, a little bit too much focus on our free will and our ability to manipulate the overall divine order of things. And we're paying, you know, and it's a great big cause and effect game, and we're experiencing a lot of the causes. It's really in the seventh chakra where we think about, you know, if you think, regardless of whether Jesus is your personal savior or whether you just think that he was someone who was a really good role model, whatever, it's really in the seventh chakra where we can take a look at the life of Jesus and see how most of, at least me, I don't want to speak on a day-to-day basis, do not really live my life like he did, or like some of the other, I mean, even to look at the other people, ascended masters or whomever. You know, are we willing to take the grace of God and use it like Jesus did to heal? To heal, you know, to heal our fears, to forgive others. You know, if we are still living, I mean, there should be times that you are fearful because we're humans and there are threats to your survival. There are times when you're going to feel like someone betrayed you, and that's because you have your solar plexus chakra and yourself. But when we are unwilling to let go of those fears because we feel like our fears define ourselves, or we're unwilling to forgive someone because we feel like it's going to make us look like we're weak, or it's going to make us, our self-esteem is going to take some kind of hit. When we have feelings like that, it's very clear that we have not processed them through our crown chakra and have not gotten divine guidance, because God does not want us to feel disconnected. God, you know, wants us to love, but we find all these things, like this argument I got in this woman with today. It was so ridiculous. I don't even want to revisit it. And I, you know, and right. I was just you know, I'm still haven't examined my role in it, but I saw her just get totally fearful over something, and I kept trying to explain that she misunderstood, but she had once that fear got in her, there was no room for anything else. There was no room for any sort of divine intervention to come through to affect a healing, because she just, you know, she just turned into one great big root chakra. I felt like I was trying to explain this to her, and I'm, you know, again, I'm sure I thought that I was operating at a much higher level than I actually was. If you were going to, you know, because if I truly was coming from a place of God, then God could have come in and brought healing. So really, when you get in a situation where you're at odds with someone, or if you're in a disagreement with someone, you know, you have a choice. You can either, it's very, very tempting to go down to their level, because it's very, it does not seem fair. Your solar plexus chakra is telling you it's not fair that they're down there in their root chakra hurling out all these fears, and you have to come from a higher place and bring healing. But that is what we are supposed to do. That's what Jesus did. That's what separates people like Jesus and Buddha and whoever else from the rest of it. And that's when some of the great things, even, you know, ordinary, you know, at any point in time, we can come to a situation as an ascended master. We don't have to be ascended master 24/7, but in every interaction with someone, we have an opportunity to come from a place of fear or come from a place where we are more evolved. But to come from a place where we are more evolved, we have to do so regardless of what the consequences were. Like, look what Jesus did. I mean, Jesus was willing to die a very painful death.
Right.
In order to bring, you know, in order to bring enlightenment. And what he got, I mean, I guess he got a pretty good tip, but he wasn't doing it out of ego. And we're still too focused on what are we going to get out of it, you know, for those of us who embark on a spiritual path, you know, are we doing it? Why are we doing it? You know, some people are doing it, you know, to generate income, you know, and all those things are fine, but what's your primary motivation? And I would believe that most of us would find that our motivation still is a little bit lower chakra, you know, probably in three or something like that. You know, we're probably doing it so the world will perceive us as being a better person, you know, for whatever.
Right.
Just have to look at all of those, you know. I don't want to make any of these gross generalizations here, but it is a lot of work. It is a lot of work. You know, those who operate in their invoking their seventh chakra into everything that they do. I mean, here's some of the things that, I mean, they pray every day, real prayers, not ask for things as if God was bewitched. They examine their fears. They examine their truths. You know, they don't bargain with God or complain to God that they've gotten more than they could handle. They don't look to God for answers. They just know, or just the fact that God, that it happened, and so it is because it was God's will, you know, it was God's will for us. So we don't sit there and, you know, the whole when bad things happen to good people mentality, that we get into. You know, people who operate out of their crown chakra, you know, live their spiritual truths, all their spiritual truths, not just the ones that are comfortable, or not the ones that are going to manifest some sort of abundance. And it's those people who really become the modern day, you know, the modern day mystics.
Right.
And it's those communities that are starting to come up, whether they're, you know, online communities or communities of, you know, churches. Is sort of what, you know, the churches started out as things like that, where they really were reflections of God's true intent for us. So it's very difficult, you know, to be a mystic. You don't necessarily have to be a martyr, but there are many, if you look at people who we really have enormous amount of respect for their lives on earth, a lot of them had to endure a great deal of pain and suffering. People, you know, like Jesus, even people like, you know, Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King, you know, go all through the people who have really affected, you know, change and things like that. And not too many of them had a very easy walk through life. rather
they challenged us for challenge. They were just always hammered.
Yeah. They, yeah, I mean, you know, even look at all through time, there has been, all through time, there has been suffering. And our reaction to our suffering is really where grace comes in. And we don't really hear that much about grace. You know, we think of like
right.
people who are graceful and stuff, and we think of them as having good posture and, you know, as a soothing voice or something like that. But people who truly are graceful are full graceful, not
full of grace.
With
right.
two out, full of grace, like Hail Mary, full of grace.
Right.
They had difficult. They had difficult lives,
yeah.
and they walked through them without becoming lapsing into bitterness and
right.
you know hate or judgment or things like that. They just treated these things that were supposedly horrid just as if they were any other thing. And when we talk about a lot of people, you know, in talking about the seventh chakra here and daily meditations and things like that, they're like, oh, well, I can't meditate because I get thoughts in my head. Well, it's okay for the thoughts to get in your head because we have thoughts. Just what do you do with them? When you think that, do you just sit there and just keep churning it and churning it and around and things like that? Or do you just let it come into your head and do you let it go? And if you, the thoughts just come and go and they're not given any more weight than any other thought, then it's okay. Consciously completing and releasing your unfinished business. And that doesn't mean just wash and dry and fold your laundry. I mean, the unfinished business are these things that you still hold, the resentments and things like that. And really in the seventh chakra, when you are in your prayer or meditation, you know, first of all, that's where that Om sound really comes in because it's very primal, takes you of the laundry list or Christmas list or whatever list kind of mentality, more just a holistic, selfless. It takes us out of self. It's just the sound of the universe. It's the sound of the universe. It's not the sound of a person or a animal or a water or anything like that. It's just a primal, universal sound. And this does break the, one of the goals when you go into meditation and when you are is really to break down yourself to get to a space of spiritual selflessness so that we can connect, reconnect, redefine our relationship with the universe.
Mm-hmm.
So, really, it's there's an awful. It's very simple, and it's very difficult at the same time. It requires discipline, not discipline like the kind of discipline when you're on a diet or discipline when you're trying to give up a bad habit or something like that. But it does require us to constantly evaluate our daily choices and the consequences of those choices. And we really need to understand that all of our emotions really just become obstacles and really become roadblocks between us and God. Anytime we throw a lower vibration energy into a situation is us trying to manipulate the outcome. And this is how, and this is how we end up manifesting illness. I think I forgot, or maybe the phone was off the, when we talked about, you know, most of them, you'd look at the amount of mental people who are treated for mental illness these days, number of people who are on antidepressants and all those things. Those are all largely tied to, and think of all the, this chakra is tied to our central nervous system, all the neurologists and all the neurological issues that people are having, and migraines and all of those sort of things. You know, chronic, the dysfunctions associated with a weakened seventh chakra are, well, they call it mystical depression, which is really just where, like, a loss of faith and a loss of, you know, you don't believe in God, diseases of the skin, muscular and skeletal system, chronic exhaustion, sensitivity to light, sound, and the environment. So a lot of, yeah.
Got a question in queue. Actually, Rita's telling me that she's just asking if you're taking any calls today, and it's like, I see we do have a caller in queue who's waiting. Apparently they want to talk to you. And what it's on, I guess, is she said she had, oh, now what'd my chat do to me? Here we go. Okay. She said that Diana may be in the queue. She said she's had a major voice chakra event. The police are involved. Two of the voice chakras have gone awry. Okay. She says 845 is her. Okay. No, I don't see 845 in the queue. Yeah, on. There's a 980 in the queue, but she was just asking if, you know, if at the end of the show you might, like, you know, take.
We can certainly take questions. So now, what is this? Is a chakra issue and the police are involved?
Yeah, that's. I was sitting there going, whoa, what's this? It's like, okay, let me see if my. Oh, okay, 94. Okay, no, it was you dropped one. Okay, let me get rid of that one. And my. Okay, we're having blog talk limits here. Yeah, she says, okay. So then here, she says, Rita says, yeah, I'd love to hear it and have Amy turn into something very spiritual, but she's, okay. Rita, she's not in queue yet. We have, I think it's a 980 is in queue. So she's in a tizzy, okay, and Yayo, okay, I'm going to say hello to Yayo in queue here, or she's in, yeah, so I'm not sure, but maybe at the end, oh, she's calling in right now, okay. So, alrighty. So whenever you get to the point where you say, okay, that's
well, we're probably to the point. I mean, yeah, we're probably. I mean, the point.
Yeah,
yeah, we're probably to the point right now. I mean, in the where we can open this up for discussion.
Cool.
So hopefully,
yeah,
but it's important. I mean, it's
one,
really. And it is very, very difficult because especially when we have situations like this, we feel that they that's how we create crises, where we give certain things, we develop more of an emotional attachment to certain things that happen in the universe than others.
Right.
And it's all the energy, and we can see just from this, you know, we can just from what this woman has told us without being on the phone yet, you know, we
right.
can hear the word police. I mean, there's fear there. So we're operating
right.
in, you know, it's a situation, which is a tendency anytime something bad happens is we, our first reaction is to go down to the lower energies instead of the higher energies. And that's why some people who really are enlightened, and sometimes when you're more enlightened, you know, because all of us that are working on this stuff, we're further along than we used to be, and we might be further along than some of the other people in our lives, which sometimes causes problems. And then, you know, they'll tell you, have you ever had a situation where one of your friends comes and tells you this story and it's a huge problem, you know, and there's no problem there. The only problem is maybe they're not getting what they want. And you notice as you spend more time in these spiritual pursuits and trying to reconnect yourself with the universe, that you lose your tolerance for those kind of stories. And even though in the past you might have thought you were being helpful because you were letting the person sit there and tell the story and over again, as I like to call it,
right,
redecorate hell. Anyway, is the caller on?
Yes, I got her. Let's see. Hang on. Just a minute. S-T-A-Y-S. I'm just telling everybody else, like, the first six are in queue or in archives. Okay. Yes, we have her there. It's like, let me get her on here, and we'll have her tell her story and what's going on here. So I believe, is this Diana? Are you on with?
Yes, it is. Hi, how are you?
Pretty good.
Hi. I got involved with a bipolar man. I didn't know he was bipolar, and it was just really like, boom, 4th of July. After dating him 2.5 months, he flies an ex-lover in, brings it to my house. It was like, it just devastated me. He ran to the police, like, because I was texting him, I want my stuff back or whatever. So he ran to the police. The police told him, you know, she could take you to small claims, stay away from the house. So I just returned his stuff. I wrote a letter. I used my boy chakra. He got all crazy with that. I went to Long Island for a nice visit with old friends and came home. And last night got 4 phone calls from him, ballistic, that he is threatening, blackmailing me. I need to write letters, email him, or he's going to have me arrested and all this stuff. And I had made a mistake that I had accidentally to unfriend someone. You got to friend them and then unfriend them on Facebook. And I totally blocked him. And I explained that to him. I don't want contact. Please stop calling me. So now, this afternoon, I got a call from, yet he went to a different state police to try and press charges. And he's extremely volatile and telling me he's going to take my house. And, you know, I'm in the middle of
this is you know what? This is actually perfect because I was like, what kind of call could this be? But this is something that I'm very familiar with, because my husband was like that. He's dead now. I will say that he's dead now, and we now have a fairy tale romance. But here's what happens, is that it's funny because I'm the only person in the grief support group that's like glad they're. Yep. But that's like what a day in my life was like every day, and first of all,
and I put out prayers for him.
Like,
I did. Last night, I put out prayers. I lit a candle for him. I said prayers. A very good friend of mine, Rita, said, I said, Rita, I am letting it go, you know.
It's hard to let go of things like that. Because here's the thing. All these people come into your life for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you say, you know, and for a lesson that you were supposed to learn.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, and then first of all, it's like, so first, let's look at the whole situation. First of all, you know, he's bipolar, that my husband's bipolar too, whatever that means. Those are just labels that people have. All of
right.
his fears and all of his insecurities are coming into everything that he is doing. And it becomes very, you know, because what you do with this stuff, and it's interesting because my husband, a year before he died, I had to get a restraining order on him because he was like, he called the credit card, he called the police and told them that I had this and that. I mean, it was all these fears that he had imagined,
exactly.
And they just weren't true. But when people go, it just created just this huge, huge amount. He said that I had stolen all his credit card. You know, it just went on and on.
I know.
Okay,
I thought
so for whatever reason, I just kept getting these really strong feelings that he was in trouble, and it turned out that he had leukemia, and call me crazy or what.
I went back to
help him. No, it's fine because now I have fairy tale romance. I mean, now he's on the other side and he's really nice. I mean, if he had lived, and it was interesting because we had I had a reading with my...
I'm a widow, too. I lost my husband to cancer 4 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. So that's part of the... I mean, and there's part of the lesson, too, is, you know, in choosing these people, are you choosing, you know, are you choosing... You know, the universe is creating all of this to say, you know, is creating all of this to send you a message, you know, and I'm trying to, you know, it doesn't really matter, you know, everyone's like, well, don't talk to him or don't talk, you know, or this or that. There really isn't, and that could almost put you in worse danger.
I was going to say, can I ask a question in here? It's like, what I don't quite understand is, how is he going to the police on you if you have nicely asked him to leave you alone? This is called a restraining
order. You know what?
It's
you
like
know
he
what
hasn't got a leg to stand on. What's the deal?
Well,
but
several
that
years ago, he went to my area, state police, and I spoke to them. They know me. It was in my area, and I spoke with them, and I said, look, I need an address, and I sent his clothes and I sent a letter and I said, I don't want to take you to small claims like the state police said, try and handle this without calling or texting you or whatever. And I sent him a letter and apparently his ex-wife and his daughter read it and, you know, that caused him all kinds of turmoil and stuff and he was upset about that. And I just ignored his calls and stuff. I went to Long Island, had an awesome time and I really had a great reunion and I felt like, wow, these men that I haven't seen in like, God, years and years, came to unpack my car and carried my stuff to the picnic. It was an awesome time on Long Island. Come home, and I get these calls last night that, you know, he's enraged, and he's going to take my house and take all my money, which I don't have money. You know, I'm in the middle of litigation, but, you know, it's just, I didn't want to go to the
state. This is exactly what I experienced. And I just have to tell you, now that Keith is on the other side, he doesn't want your house or your money or something. He has some ancient, very, very primal hurt that somehow you have some sort of soul contract. Well, it's not like tapped into like, you know, smart women who make foolish choices. These people come into your life, and that's the part that, you know, we can call it codependence, we can call it, you know, psychology, we'll call it whatever it wants. This person came into your life for a reason, and the thing that has to, that you need to focus on is, what are the lessons that you're supposed to learn? What are the lessons that you're supposed to learn from this? And I don't think it's something as simple as don't go out with people who are bipolar. You know, these people come into your life for a reason. The other thing I will tell you, and I don't want you to repeat my mistakes, but it's important that we understand that this concept of these soul contracts and the assignments we get when we come to Earth. After I, you know, same thing. Always calling the police. The police would have to come investigate, and they were just, you know, and then the police would be like, "Well, she must be crazy too, or she wouldn't be." You know, it takes two to tango. All of this sort of stuff. But we had this strong connection. When I had a restraining order on him, I sensed he was in danger. I called him to see if he needed some money, which he did. Instead of saying, "Oh, that is very nice of you. You can mail it here," he goes to the judge, and I ended up getting fined. And then he ended up getting evicted. So that's just how, that's just the madness of how hard people hold on to whatever their core hurts are. But the important part that I want to tell you, because I don't have an answer as to what my answer is, figure out what the lesson is and figure out what if this person is going to figure out what he's really asking for. He's not asking for your house. He's not asking for your money or whatever. You know, figure out and pray that he get what he's asking for. But to bring this whole story with Keith full circle, I had a reading with this, I don't know if you want to call it a famous medium. We'll call her an expensive medium. That's what we'll call her.
That I had planned for 6 months on Monday, and I couldn't afford it because there's a whole different set of earth problems. But it was already paid for and everything, and I really wanted to get some answers as to, because he's been real strong since he died.
Mm-hmm.
I could feel him change.
And I asked why did, you know, and he was like, you were the only person who ever understood me. You were the only person who ever understood me. You're the only person who ever loved me. And I died so that you could have the life that you deserved. Now, that is really powerful. Now, did I have to put up with all of that bad behavior and all the insanity and, you know, the associated work problems that went with it when he would call my boss and say that I was doing this or something? But people come into your life for a reason, and there's a lesson to be learned. So instead of focusing on all of the gory details, and they're pretty hard not to focus on because you're because your root shock. I mean, he was going to have me arrested, and I had to go down to the. I had to go to the police to one of those CSI rooms, and I wasn't arrested, but I thought I was going to spend Christmas in jail because he had convinced them. He'd also convinced he had neurological damage. He convinced him he was disabled. I had exploited the disabled. On and on and on. And my root chakra was like a peacock, wide open. I was so fearful. So try to move out of your fear, because you know that none of those things are true. Try to put the focus on, okay, this lesson is this whole fucking absolute episode of the Jerry Springer Show is happening to me to teach me a very important lesson. Maybe it's, you know, the universe trying to, you know, teach you something that you need to
What was your lesson in that? In your relationship with the bipolar person, what was your lesson?
My lesson was that, and I'm still trying to figure it out because it was an awful lot of crazy stuff. It was an awful lot of crazy stuff to go through, but it did put me on a spirit. It did put me on a spiritual path, made me realize that love had to come from myself. You know, that I was not going to find love outside myself. I would feel other people's love loved myself, but that. And the rest of it, I'm still in the process of learning. Now, I don't want to say to you, you know, put up with all this unacceptable behavior. Stay in an abusive relationship, because then you'll be like the freaking Dalai Lama or Nelson Mandela or something. It's not, it doesn't.
No, I really pray for him, and I have not gone to the police because, as I said to him yesterday, I said, I pray for you because you are obviously off your medications, and it's like expecting, and I do have a great nephew with autism, it's expecting an autistic child to do algebra. I expected too much of you, and I accept responsibility for that. I put out to the universe for you, without naming his name, that you find peace and that you go forward with this, and you need to stop. And I'm sorry if I upset you in any way that I held you responsible for your actions, but it is what it is. And he said he never had a woman ever that I was insane, you know, basically call him on the carpet and stuff like that, and that he was blackmailing me, wanted me to retract everything, and he was going to go report me. It was insane, and I was like, I'm not doing that. I'm not emailing you. I am not having any contact with you. So I think my lesson is to raise the bar, and like you said, love yourself more.
And I think there's a part of this. I think that you're dead husband has a part of your, the fact that you're a widow plays a part in this as well.
Absolutely.
It becomes very, very difficult to find a partner after you've lost your husband because it just is. It's like, it's almost like you want to lower the bar because you don't want to find someone that is better than your deceased husband, because that would be disrespectful. When the issue is that spirit, like in spirit, we can be in two places at once. When we're in spirit, we can love two people at once. And it's not, I remember one time Jethro was giving me a reading and I was like, well, how's Keith? And he's like, oh, well, he's here. He's a real big cheerleader. He's amazed at the person you've become. You haven't, but he's doing other stuff. And as soon as I heard, but doing other stuff, I was like what? Like dating or something? Like what? Like visiting
other people,
you know?
Yeah, it's so intuitive that you said that, because my childhood friend Rita had said to me, I think that you subconsciously on some level are meeting these drugs because you have not finished your grieving ship with your late husband. And I was like, really?
That's exactly what it is. Because here's the thing, and I did, and we're going to go over this next week when I talk about the chakras and grief. When you look at grief, grief is supposedly a reaction to, the cause of grief is really love. But when someone dies, we just don't, we're not just grieving the loss. We get grieving, you go down to your root chakra. You know, we've got, I had some real economic fears when my husband died. I was big, big mess and financially. Then you look at yourself and you define yourself as relationships. And suddenly, you know, widow is not a real attractive archetype. When you think of widows, you think of old lady, you know, who serve no value, you know. So your role as, and then we think that we can respect, that we'll respect our deceased spouse by finding someone that can't hold a candle to them. And then they're just, you know, it's very, very difficult. You know, it is, it's a very, very difficult thing, and it's not the kind of stuff, they don't talk about it in grief counseling. You know, they just don't, they don't talk about some of these subtleties. You know, I remember when I first, when Keith first died, my first waking thought every day was I would wake up, I would have to go to the computer and Google search because I really didn't believe he was dead. And I would read his obituary. I'm like, okay, he's dead. I'll never have sex again. And that was like my, that was my waking, you know, it's very, 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 very complicated. So I think that you intentionally were attracted to someone who was not going to be the same, you know, that was, that you didn't like, that you didn't like, you know, you intend, you were attracted to something you weren't attracted to. Dare you insult your husband? But they're not like that when they're dead. They're not like that when they're dead.
Yeah,
so
very different.
So you don't have to, you know, you can, you could find someone that was, you know, more attractive, had more money, had more, had more of all the earth things your husband did, and he would be happy for you. He wouldn't be like, wow.
I actually did something. I had a date with a guy this past weekend that I had seen several months ago. And normally I would get money. I am so financially devastated right now because I'm in this legal litigation and I don't have a job right now, so... You know, I'm upstate, 120 miles from my family. All this stuff is going on at the same time, but I'm still keeping my faith and trying to meditate and tap into my spiritual side. That I just said, you know, bring it on. I put my armor of angels around me, and I try and meditate every day and stuff like that. And I just think that there are lessons to be learned, and that our loved ones that pass on the other side. My husband wasn't all, you know, we had our problems or whatever. And I think that subconsciously maybe I was attracting the wrong person, but the last date that I had, you know, although, you know, it was just like, you know, like a friendship kind of thing, you know, it was great to really feel like, okay, went to dinner, had a nice time, et cetera, that it is possible to open my heart again. But I just, after this experience, I just want to, like, shut my heart down right now and just focus on what I need to do for myself. You know.
Well, you know, so many people are suffering right now, and that is a natural reaction. But what I have learned to do, because I have that same story, I have, you know, 2 weeks ago, the IRS started to put a levy on my paycheck. Blah 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 blah. The whole list of woe is me things just goes on and on. And when I got my paycheck with the missing zero, it was just like, it looked like an allowance my mother had given me and something that didn't look like a paycheck. I was honestly grateful. And that's one of the things that we need to learn to do, is when the shit hits the fan, instead of being like, how did this happen to me, to honestly be grateful, say, wow, I'm going to learn something really big this time around. I'm, you know, this is going to be really exciting, because I'm going to come out of this mess with more wisdom than ever before. Mm-hmm. And truly try to incorporate that into your heart in this gratitude. Then you've moved up to your heart chakra instead of your root chakra, where we process most of these things. And I'm so glad you brought this up, because none of this stuff makes any sense if we don't talk about it in real day-to-day terms, the shitty stuff that happens in our life. It doesn't matter. You know, anybody can be blissful when they're like at the sweat lodge, or, you know, we go to the conference or we go here or we go there.
In the cave.
But when you're like, but when you're on the side of the road and your car's broken down, or your computer doesn't, or your phone gets turned off or something like that, and if you can process those things through the chakras, that's where you really get the growth, because we're here to interact with people, and everybody and anybody that we, and I went to this conference and there was a dating session, and I had won a scholarship to this conference, and the woman was like, why are you coming to this, because you can go see all these famous people. No, I'm like, no, I really do need to, as being a widow, and we would rather be in a familiar place than in a happy place. So we do have this tendency to attract people into our life, you know. And she had this whole methodical way of dating people you're not attracted to, and you will fall into love instead of this immediate attraction. You think the person is your soulmate or something, when actually they're probably your soul twin, which is something we talked about a couple weeks ago, which is really like you used to be the same person, and you've got all this cosmic whatever, and, you know, and it never plays out very attractively. And it's interesting.
No, it doesn't. And those dating sites are horrible.
Most of them are.
I had a fellow that I thought was really nice, and then all of a sudden I'm like, well, what are your interests? And he's like, well, my hobbies are I shop at Well Hung and Beyond, and he sent me a dirty picture of himself. And it was like, really? I said, we're not even in the same bookstore. I mean, this is the crap that's out there, you know?
But that is what you are attracting, you know, because that's your lesson right now. Is that, you know, the universe is bringing in all these people for you to use your discernment with. And so often, just like this Chick-fil-A thing, we come up with this like, oh, that's so horrible. When we come from a higher place, it's like, oh, that doesn't appeal to me. Next, instead of, you know, we try to become better people by having outrage over the things that we find unacceptable.
Correct.
And when we get to the point where it's like, oh, yeah, so the guy sent me a picture of his penis. Oh, so this, and then this is this. And, I mean, I do it, too. I mean, especially when it comes to dating, you're like, can you believe this guy. We think that he, you know, and really all these people that come into our life, any person who comes into our life for whatever reason, we're sent there as part of a higher plan to teach us a lesson. So it's like when they come, it's like, okay, what's the what is the lesson that I'm supposed to learn? And it doesn't really matter, you know, sure, if you don't, you know, if you don't fight back and if you don't, like, you know, leave all the nasty voice, you know, and get into the fighting mode, you might get to a higher place faster. But in all honesty, it really doesn't matter if you do that or if you don't do that. What really matters is that in every interaction you have with something, with everything that offends you, with everything that you're attracted to, whatever is, what was the lesson? What was the lesson? And it sounds like you're really, really trying to, you're really, really trying to do that. But again, I mean, it's such a clear illustration of how, you know, and I remember back to this, you know, really all Keith wanted was someone to love and accept him. The way that he got me to love and accept him, try to have me arrested, he would, you know, whatever. I mean, all this crazy stuff that he really wanted. So, you know, maybe look behind this bizarre behavior of this person. And what does he want? Really, we all want the same thing. We all want.
I think I'm too much of a Sarah Bernhardt. My friend Regina was here and met him and kicked him out of my house and was like, rah, 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 rah. And then she was, you know, and it was like 2 weeks later, he called me and was like, I'm sorry and stuff and da, da, da. And Rita warned me, she said, he's talked to stay away. And I was like, he's got a really good heart and blah, 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 and so on and so on. And she warned me, she said, Di, I told you so, but it was a lesson, I guess, I needed to learn. You know,
exactly. They're
maybe,
all lessons.
You know,
it doesn't matter what costume you show up in, whether you show up in the Sarah Bernhardt blowing, you know, drama queen one, or if you come in as the bliss ninny, just saying, oh, they're a child of the universe and they just want love. It's going to play out the same way. You're still going to learn the and you don't want to give up so much of yourself. You still want to be true to yourself. So if yourself happens to be the kind of person that does infuse a lot of emotion into things and does become somewhat dramatic and things like that, that's just how you tell your story. I'm that way, and I infuse a lot of my drama when I'm doing these blog talk sessions, and that's why a lot of people finally get it. So you're living your life maybe a little more dramatic than, you know, the...
I think one of my lessons was not to, and, you know, my deceased husband, Bob, used to say to me, you know, you're so nice to people, people take your kindness for weakness. Over and over he would say to me, I'm naive, take kindness for weakness. And I think that one of my lessons in this is that when, if I get into another relationship, which I'm just not doing that right now. I need time to heal and figure out where I'm going logistically, geographically, and stuff like that, that I need not to show wear my heart on my sleeve so quickly in a relationship.
Because when you do wear your heart on your sleeve, you're going to attract other people who wear that on their sleep. You know, you're going, that same thing as me. I was just like, I had known Keith, and he wasn't the father of my children. I had known him in college. We had a lot in common, but I also knew he was like, had a bucket full of issues, and I had all the warning signs that I really should not get in a relationship with him. Maybe I should just be friends or maybe just keep him at bay. But it was a little bit of, oh, I can fix this, and a little bit of my sense of adventure. And even though I had all the signs that this was not going to be a blissful walk in the park, I jumped in anyway. And it's
because
very
we
hard.
Because we as women are fixers. We're fixers. We're nesters, and we want to fix and nurture and do et cetera, you know.
Exactly. So, you know, and this idea of just dating, that just sounds very painful to me. Like, just sounds very tedious to me.
Oh, yeah.
I really feel like I would like to be in another relationship, but you've really just brought to the forefront of what, you know, because I have this whole bucket of issues that need to be resolved, you know, some financial ones, some health ones and things like that. If you don't have your own house in order, and then
holy
you go
moly,
out
yes,
and try to find a relationship just because, well, the clock's ticking. I'm not getting any younger, you know, and soon I'll have to start having, I just heard I was out to lunch with a friend of mine and she said, well, yes, Viagra sex. And I didn't know what Viagra sex was, but she told me what it was, and it's not very pleasant. I was like, oh, my God, Viagra sex. Oh, my God. You know, one other thing to worry
that's
about.
A blue pill.
You know?
No.
So that's it's difficult. I mean, it's very, very difficult.
But there is hope out there, you know, like the date that I went on, and although I knew that it was just, you know, like I see him every couple of months, whatever. I said to him, you know, I didn't do my nails. I didn't have time. And he's like, I wouldn't care if you showed up in a ponytail and a T-shirt. And that, to me, was like, wow. You know, I mean, to me, it's just learning to love yourself, nurture yourself, and know that if someone really cares about you, they're not going to care if you show up in a tiara or jogging pants. No, they're going to love
that's
you
true.
For your soul
yeah,
and your
heart. That's exactly true. And it's all just a great big experiment. Another thing that we forget is that we're here to make mistakes. We are
exactly.
here. We're supposed to make mistakes, and that's where you know, that's where the growth comes. So, I really appreciate you bringing this up because it's a very good example of how we use these. We don't just use them when we're you know, sitting around with like-minded people. We use them
right.
when we get pulled over and are getting the all of those types of things. But the two big things that I'm hearing are express gratitude for all the lessons.
Yeah.
And also try
to. Thank God. You know, like, I literally have maybe $18 cash on me right now, and I'm house rich, and I'm spiritually rich, and I thank God that I'm not really poor, that I'm not laying on the sidewalk of Manhattan begging for money, and I have three kids that I have to feed. So I'm thankful for what God gave me, and my brother who passed a couple of years ago, which was very difficult, July 4th, and this is what this idiot delivered this woman on my doorstep July 4th. So it was an emotional day for me. He was the oldest, and I'm the youngest of 12 kids. My brother told me,
wow.
Diana, the biggest lesson I can tell you in life is that God made erasers for a reason. Meaning,
wow.
you know, you people make mistakes, and you learn from the mistakes, and you move forward from them. You know, so I am tapping into that, and every day, you know, I wake up and I do what I need to do, but it's an ongoing struggle.
And
so
I also think I just want to leave you with this one thing that I would urge you to revisit, I mean, with this grief thing, to spend some time redefining your relationship with your I call them DHs, dead husbands. Some of them are cheerleaders. Some of them are protectors. And some of them are like your evil twin that, you know, whisper in your ear to do. You know, redefine, spend some time in prayer and meditation and redefine and rekindle your relationship with your husband. Decide what kind of dead husband you want. You know, do you want
right.
the cheerleader? Do you want the protector? Do you want the co-conspirator, you know, the conspirator in crime? When do you want those? But just spend
yeah.
some time thinking about how he's going to be, how he's going to be in your life now. Because if you redefine your relationship with him in some way, shape, or form, don't think you're going to feel so alone, and you're not going to go into these dates or
potentials for relationships from a place of abandonment, because he has not abandoned you. You just need to redefine it and figure out, you know, a little code, you know, just figure out how the relationship. A lot of people don't get rid, you know, they hold on to their deceased loved one in grief, or then they just let them go and forget about them. But they're still a part of our lives, and I think if you work on refining your relationship with him and his spirit, you won't be going out into the universe from such a place of need with respect to
That's really good advice. I had to put down Bobby's. I say it's Bobby's dog. Molly was almost 13. My pug. When I was on Long Island, I had to put her to sleep. So it's been a very emotional month for me. And, you know, I did last night. I said, Bobby, I know you're happy. You got Molly up there in heaven. It's been such a
month. And you might also want to look at, and we're probably running out of time, you might also want to just put this that when we get into, times where these anniversaries and the holidays and things like that, where we expect that we're going to experience grief, a lot of times we'll create a lot of drama as to avoid the raw emotion of the pain. So a lot of this might have been created by you and the universe as a distraction from all the other things going on in your life right now, you just didn't have the energy to feel the pain associated with the loss. We do that a lot.
Wow. That hit home. Yep.
Well, we're all
think
pretty predictable. And we're all the same. We just play out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a different, we just wear different costumes when we do it. Well, good. I'm really glad you brought this up, because it's a real life example.
I feel so blessed. Thank you so much. You guys are angels, and prayers to you, and God bless.
Okay, well, thank you, Diana, for calling in. It's like, we're really glad that Rita got to call in, and she said you don't have computer yet, but you know what? We're always here. We're here every day at 773-897-6461, and we welcome people just to call in, because there's a lot of people that do just call in, and they don't necessarily have, you know, a question, but they just listen to the show, you know, like through the queue or whatever. So, you know, we welcome you to, you know, come on back and listen through stuff. And one of the things I thought earlier, it's like there was so much, kind of chaos going on earlier, but the thing of it is when things happen like this, the more you can keep your calm and the more you can keep your cool, a lot of times people try to provoke us into, you know, doing things or saying things or acting out, and they get our energy stirred up. And essentially what they do is then they kind of sit back and they kind of, I shouldn't say laugh, but they kind of sit back and feed on our upset energy, if that makes any sense. You know, but it's like
it empowers them. Look at how powerful I am. I could make her
I can get
you goat, so to speak. I remember you saying that, like, I don't know, it was like a month or two ago. I was listening in, and when I was in dealing this garbage last night, all I kept saying to him was, John, I send blessings to you. I'm praying for you. You know, I feel sorry for your pain. You know, that's all I kept saying. And I hear that, that they take joy in that, the joy in the pain of that. And
right.
I have to realize that I'm also dealing with someone with mental disease. So, you guys are so blessed. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. I hope I didn't take too much of the time on the show. But thank you so much.
You know, that's what we're here for. I mean, really, really and truly, it's like that's one of the reasons we're here, is like, you know, if we can help and we can make people's days better and make your life better and, you know, and just kind of.
Yeah, because you helped everybody. You helped everybody by speaking your truth, and you helped everybody to remind us it is a really important lesson, that it's just these little goofy things that we think like, oh, well, we'll go back to, like we're cheating on our diet or something, and then we'll go back to the love and light mode. But when we can learn how to be come from a more spiritual place and a place of love in these more difficult times. You know, it's courageous, and it was very helpful of you to share your story.
Exactly.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me share the story, and thanks for the advice. I appreciate it. And God blessings to you guys.
All righty. Well, thank you. Thank you for staying in. I'll put you back on hold here, and it's like, and I think Amy's still sharing some of her. She's teaching a chakra class today, and she's talking about chakra number 7. So this is why, you know, this is actually perfect, because this was exactly what she was talking about how we get our chakras
so
over, and it's like, and then how to bring them back into balance, and it's all about balance. It really is.
Yep.
It's in every moment. It's not like every situation. You know, every moment. We have an opportunity to look at something, to look at it differently.
Yeah.
So great. So next week, if we can get all the electric stuff to work, we're going to actually talk about grief and the shock, taking the concept of grief and processing it through the chakras. You can see how what I found interesting about this is when you do that, and you can see you can really do it with any problem that you have, you can break it down into modules and actually find some things that, while you might not be able to fix a great big problem, you can fix portions of it. So it's kind of like a module. You can use the chakras as modules to solve problems, big spiritual big problems like world famine, and day-to-day problems like we just took the time to break down. So it gives you a chance to look at some of the things that happen in your life through a different set of lenses.
Okay. Well, got a question. Okay, so next week we're going to talk on application, because we've been through, and we've had a lot of people asking. It's like, yeah, it's like, we got to figure out and get your cat back on. It's like, I don't know what's up with that. But, you know, it's like, yes, indeedy, what I want to say here is all of these that Amy has done on the chakra classes are in archives. They're on the Wednesdays, so you look for the Wednesday shows with Amy Cavanaugh, and it'll usually say, well, like today, my thing to promote didn't post. So I'm like, Blog Talk is still having its Blog Talk moments, although I chatted in their little email thing and said, okay, we're 7 minutes a show, and I can't get this up to promote. So it's like, sometimes that's why you see stuff on and you don't see stuff on, because after it's failed to send like about, 15 times, I go, okay, we're having electrical, you know, wonderful things today with Blog Talk. I'm so pleased. So anyway, but
crazy. It's a good thing we're not charging for this, because we would be just sending everybody their money back. But it is just sometimes it posts in different time zones, and
right.
It's just a, but I believe the universe knows that if someone has, and proved it today, someone needs to be here, they'll be here.
Exactly. So next week, and it's like, so I'm just trying to get it straight in my mind, because I'm going through fogs these days. It's like, I'm operating on about 3-4 hours of sleep a night at this point in time, and I'm like, I'm not always the sharpest tack in the room here when I'm on air. So I listen and I go, what was that? So next week you're going to talk to us about how stuff applies, or say that again for me. It's like,
next week we're going to talk about processing grief through the chakras.
Perfect.
So
okay.
It's going to just be sort of another example of what we just did with the caller's question, just a little more formalized.
Right. Okay. I was going to say, and do you want to make time at the end of these to maybe say, okay, that's, because, you know, remember that one day, it's like, you know, that's all I have, and it's like, and then, you know, we talked about coffee for the rest of that day. But maybe at the end of these, it's just kind of put on there and say, you know, if you listen to today's episode, you know, if you have questions, it's like, you know, let's, you know, we'll take a caller or two, you know, as time permits, and just kind of see how that process. Okay. Because I mean, I think that would be really beneficial. Because I know, you know, like our caller, you know, Diana called in, and Rita was just like, she was so upset. You know, Rita was just like, I was just afraid she was going to be spending, you know, overnight lodging somewhere else because she was going to just, you know, go out and get on this guy. It's like, no, that's a bad idea. You know, and she said the guy was at the cop shop, and I said, well, why don't they just keep him? It sounds like a good place for him to be. So I went on in chat. We got to get you back in chat, Amy.
I think I need to clean out my cash or my something with computer, and then it might work. That's the whole thing. And I mean, I do know also. Right. I mean, the police just hate stuff like that. The police, they can't make sense of it.
Of anyone.
And,
well, you know, and Jethro went through this with his, I'll say, with his second wife. She was just, I mean, she was the one, she took a knife. I mean, this one, they lived in Rockford, the same town I lived in, and they were like, you know, 3-4 blocks away. He came in one night, and she had a knife. She was going to take him out, really take him out. And so he jumped out the door. He ran around. He hid in the bushes. He got on the, you know, he comes back. He says, you know, would you call the cops? Because, you know, she's trying to get me. So I was like, sure. So I made the call, 911, got him on their way. He says, well, I'm going to go, you know, back over. He was lurking in, you know, around the bushes of his own house, afraid to go in his own house until the cops got there. And then it was just, you know, they had a major court moment. And the judge ended up giving them restraining orders against each other. And I was kind of going, I'm really surprised that they wouldn't do that, you know, in her case, where it's just like, you know, if this guy is, okay, he beat her to the punch or whatever, but it's like she needs to also go in and get a restraining order on him and say, he's threatening me. And it's like, you know, he needs that equal, you know, whatever back there. And just, you know, he needs to leave her alone. He just does. And she, of course, she also needs at the same time, you know, while you're going through the motions of doing this, and this is what's really hard, is to dissociate your emotions from the actions that you have to take. I mean, I went through this with a guy who was, I'll just call him a pathological liar, a psychopath or whatever. It's like, I know three different.
He was a lesson.
I'll tell you what, he was a lesson. He sure was. But it's like the professional people I went to, you know, I would just describe his behaviors and I'd say, I'm not sure what I'm dealing with. And all three of them picked him as a sociopath. You know, like a psychopath, you know, sociopath personality is like, oh my, it's like, so what is this? So two of them actually referred me to the same book to read. I was like, okay. And when I did, it was the scariest thing I'd ever read. And I was like, oh my, this explains a whole lot. But what they do is they're so good at it. They're such good liars. They turn it around on you and make you look like the, you know, the idiot. And what I realized quickly with him was that, well, of course, I wasn't, you know, wasn't trying to play that game alone. It's like I was going in for some professional help and going, I'm not sure what to do. And they said, number one, you got to keep cool. No matter what he throws at you, you've got to keep your cool. Because if you give him any, you know, chink in your armor to, you know, to look at, he will go for it like, you know, a dog going for the throat kill. So I did that, and it's like, it was where I learned how to shield. It was where I learned how to, you know, I mean, I used all the metaphysical stuff. I learned how to shield. I learned how to, you know, put up that block and put up those things like that. And it was just, it was a lesson, all right. And I mean, it stood me in good stead because, you know, at this point, the points in time we're coming in, you learn how to put that spiritual armor on, and it is spiritual armor. And it's like, I would like to do some classes on the spiritual armoring, because Jethro calls me and goes, okay, I'm being hit again. I'm going, man, I thought we'd been through this, you know, how to shield yourself, how to, you know, do this. And I was like, what is it? So I, you know, and I don't know, maybe it's just, you know, he's been through a lot. And it's like, and he's going to go through more. So, I mean, maybe I just went through so incredibly much. It's like, if I hadn't had, I call it the rhino hide. It's like, if I didn't have the shielding that I do, I probably wouldn't be doing as well as I am on this planet today, because somebody somewhere along the line would have really hit me off. So I was like, ah.
Oh, yes, goodness. Exactly. That's it. And that is it. Exactly. And it's very hard for people, like, it's very hard to balance out. It's very hard to balance out, you know, being a good person, you know, being a good person, and, you know, keeping yourself open, keeping your heart open, and keeping yourself safe.
Right.
And also balancing it with the idea that these certain people are supposed to come into your life, you know, are coming into your life. I mean, maybe they're still going to come into your life, but we do have control of how and when and where they come into our life. And that's really what we want. You know, just because they're supposed, they're part of our soul lesson does
right.
not mean that we have to marry them.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no kidding. And I was so glad I hadn't. It's like is it too late to call in for reading? Somebody actually, are you up to doing any kind of like a life coaching? It's like Precious just asked in chat, she would like a reading. It's like I'm thinking she was thinking what you're doing for the gal earlier was kind of like reading. And I don't know, Precious, or I don't know, are we kind of sort of doing readings, or you just want to take a shot?
Sure, I mean, we might as well since we're, okay, if she,
I got a
sure.
few minutes anyway. Okay, sir. Okay. Yeah, Precious. Okay, let's see. Let's do, where'd she go here? Okay, I think she must be, wait a minute. We've got 631, so I'm not sure. Hello? You're on with us.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. Is this the person by the name of Precious in chat, or we got a different person?
No, I'm in chat.
Okay, cool. You're on with Amy.
Hi, Amy. I just wanted a reading with career and love life.
Okay, well, do you want to, Kelly, do you want to give her a birth card reading? Because I'm not really in reading mode right now. I've sort of just
I know.
Been in more of a, I'm not pulling
we're kind of in teach mode. Precious, what I'm gonna have you do there is, let's see, I believe that Jethro was on today, and it's Living in the Psychic Realm, and I'll give you the number for that show, because, yeah, today has just been, Amy's been doing the teaching, like the chakra classes and that kind of stuff, and today was chakra number 7, and the caller we had a caller on earlier, and she was in distress with a couple of her chakras for sure. And it's like, and Amy got to, you know, to kind of work through that with her. But if you got a pen or paper or something really quick here, call in at 714.
Wait a minute. Oops, sorry.
Okay. Sure, that's fine.
714-333.
714-333.
And then
3354.
And Jethro,
that is...
Sorry, 714-333.
Yeah, 714-333-3354. There's a lot of threes in it. So yeah.
3354.
What time is that at, Kelly?
You know, I don't know offhand because I am the world's biggest cheater on that. I just call that number and it will tell you. Blog Talk will tell you, you know, X number of hours till your show or whatever. Or if it's on, you know, it'll say, oh, if
all
you'd
right,
like
well,
to talk to the host, you know, press 1 and be in queue. It's like, okay. So I'm not sure if he's on at 4 o'clock or if they're on at 6 o'clock today. Well, that would be Mountain Time. So it's like, yeah.
Okay.
Alrighty. You betcha. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, I just hate to give readings when I'm not in a, you know, when I'm not in.
I need to get that computer from you. It's like the bookstore called. They called actually today and said your books are in. I'm like going, yay! Oh, good. Rita said, see, Jethro goes on at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay.
So that's soon.
Like 3 minutes. Okay, we better get off here and let him get on. So I'm gonna zip over.
Yeah.
There.
So send me. You have my email, right?
I do. And it's can I say it over air here? I don't think anybody's
yes.
gonna stalk you. Okay.
That's
what I have is A. Cavanaugh. ACAVANAUGHCPC@gmail. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
All righty. I will email you today because. Otherwise, I would just tell you my physical address. So, you know, because I really don't care if people show up because we're so
yeah,
far.
Yeah, but just email it or else I'll write it down wrong. That'll be easier.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, talk soon.
Okay, sounds good. We will talk to you soon, and we'll see you next week on Psychics Gone Wild. Oh, actually, I'll see everybody today, but Amy will be back with us next Wednesday. And tomorrow we have Linda Irwin come up. She is our ET person and paranormal person, and she does very interesting stuff. She also does psychic readings. She does angel messages. She does all kinds of cool stuff, life coaching and all that good stuff, same kind of things that Amy does, just from a little bit different perspective. And it's really, really unique. So it's like, join us again tomorrow at 773-897-6461. And we're at the same time, same station here on Blog Talk. So we will see you all. Well, actually, some of us are going to run right over to the show that's going to start in like, 2 minutes there is Jethro's show. So the 714-333-3354. I'll see if I can type that in there. My fingers don't quit on me. 714 and 333. Oh, yeah. And it's blogging me here. Okay, 714 and 333 and 3354. And I'm pretty sure that Jethro is doing he's doing the talk and reading today. So thank you, guys. Hearts and loves. And it's like we will see you over there just really shortly. And have a great day. Thanks for being with us today. And see you soon.